Proverbs chapter 19. I'm going to start reading there at verse 8 this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 19, from verse 8 to the end of verse 10. We'll stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Beginning at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 8. Says, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this afternoon for this word of wisdom that we've read today. How important it is for us to be those who want to get wisdom. We need to realize the importance of our souls. The soul of man lives on beyond the grave. We realize that from birth, our souls are going in the wrong direction. We are sinners. And if we do not get saved, we remain lost sinners and end up in the lake of fire. And so we're thankful that thou hast given us thy word so that we can know, first of all, that we are lost sinners. We can know what we need to do about that. We need to turn to thee in repentance. We need to trust in the blood of thy Son alone to save us. And then we need to learn to walk with thee as thy children. I pray this afternoon, if there's someone listening to this message that is not saved, that they might see that their soul is doomed to the lake of fire at this present time, that they might want to change that, they might want to turn to thee in repentance and ask thee to forgive them and to save them through the blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that they might sober up and see how serious a matter this is. It's nothing to play with. Very serious. I pray, Father, that those of us that are saved, that we would honor thee in our lives, that we would want to get more wisdom, want to understand how we can walk with thee more faithfully and be a greater blessing to those around us, and not be a stumbling block to anyone around us that is lost, that we might desire to see them saved. Father, we pray that thy will would be accomplished here in this time that we have together, and may we allow thee to speak to us. We ask that thou hast give us that clarity of mind and that alertness that we can hear from thee and respond to thee as thou wouldst have us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Wisdom is a very precious commodity. It's something that we're not born with. It's something that we need to be given as a gift from God. It's not something that you'll find in the universities of our country. Many people today, they go through grade school, then they go to high school, and then they go off to college or university. But those places, even while they're called places of higher learning, they do give people a greater understanding of mathematics and things like that sometimes. But they do not impart wisdom. They're evolutionary in their outlook, and they're humanistic as well in their outlook. They do not believe in God. They believe that man is the highest being, and that all that we need to do is to continue to study. And nowadays, they're not even studying that which is important. They're studying hoaxes like man-made climate change and this virus and so on. They're not even looking at things openly. I was listening to a doctor yesterday in regard to the response that our world has taken to this virus, and how that he said he's tired of listening to scientists, because he says the scientists don't have a clue what they're talking about, because they're not following the science as it's supposed to be followed. In science, you have an idea, and then you try to form that idea and try to see if you can duplicate that idea in a lab or something, or see if it's out there in society somewhere. And that's not what science is doing today. And in the Apostle Paul's day, God already warned him to tell us of people who have a science falsely so-called. That was already a problem in the Apostle Paul's day. And it's a big problem today. And so this doctor, he said, what he was looking for now is clinical studies. Because clinical studies, you look at the patient, you examine the patient, you try something on the patient, and if it works, okay, now you have a test result. Now you do it again and again and again until you come up with something that works. And that's what he said they have done when it comes to this ivermectin. And they have done many studies already, and they have proven that it does work against this virus. So science is important. It has its place. But when it is not used properly, it's of no value. Another problem that we're facing, we mentioned it here a while ago, the question was asked by a pastor, what happens to those who are trusting in live streaming as your means to reach the people? What happens when the government starts to police the internet and you lose your internet? What then? And this week in the Parliament of Canada, they have been debating a bill called Bill C-10. And that bill, they are saying that it is to police Netflix and places like that, but they also have a part in that bill that says that the government can monitor and police any private social media publishing. So what I'm doing here today, this message is going out on live stream. And if that bill becomes law, the government can, if they want to, have someone that can look at our website. They can examine everything that I say through my live stream. And if they don't like something that I'm saying, they can stop it from being broadcast. That's what Bill C-10 allows for. The Liberal government, the only people that have been opposing this bill is some of the Conservatives. I don't even know if it's the whole Conservative Party. But some of them have opposed it. And one of the Conservatives asked the Liberal member about this bill this week, why they were intent on pushing this through. And the Liberal response was not to answer the question, but to tell the Conservative member of Parliament to stop listening to the extreme elements of their party. So what the Liberals are saying is that it's extreme if you want to stop them from policing social media. What is extreme is if we allow our government to start to say what we can say and what we can't say. That's like communist Russia, communist Germany, and any other China and any other communist country. That's what that's like. That's a very dangerous place that we are coming to in our country. This is what is being proposed with that bill. I don't know. I think it's up to the Senate now to decide whether it's going to go through. I think the Parliament has already dealt with it. But again, our parliaments are not functioning properly anyway because they're not sitting as they should be. A lot of it is virtual, and it's really a fraud. We haven't been governed properly for a long time, but since the virus pretty well, we haven't had a sitting parliament because they're afraid of getting the virus. Again, they're lost. They don't have any basis for any solid hope, and so they're running on panic. But as Christians, we still have the true God. He has not died, he will not die, and we can know him, and we can serve him faithfully. And the first point that we have this afternoon, under the heading, I'm not sure if I gave the title, but the title is, Do You Value Wisdom? Do you value wisdom? And the first point we have is, do you love your soul? It says in verse 8, He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. So you notice here that there is a need to get wisdom. Wisdom is not going to fall into your lap. You're not going to be sitting somewhere and all of a sudden, like they talk about Henry Ford, that a light bulb came on and he knew what to do with regard to building the Ford vehicle. It's not like, who was the guy that sat under the apple tree and it fell on his head and he...
Isaac Newton.
Yeah, it's not like that at all, and it wasn't that way for him either. But it doesn't fall in our laps, we don't get jarred and all of a sudden we're smart. We have to learn. And we have to learn that which is good for us. Wisdom is not something the world can impart to us. There are some people in the world that are good farmers. And they can give us some advice if someone wants to be a farmer. If you know some older person that's a good farmer, you can work for that person and you can learn many things. I remember as a young boy, I worked for our neighbor and he was a good farmer. He taught me many things. He was a lost man, but he was a good farmer. He understood how to build up the soil. He understood how to keep the soil in good shape. He knew how to go grow a good crop. He knew how to look after chickens and so on. He was a good farmer. And he taught me many things. But as far as things that are of eternal value, he couldn't teach me anything because he didn't know the Lord. So when we're talking here about wisdom, we're talking about that which is of eternal value. And so it is good for children. It's very important for children to learn how to write, to learn how to read, to learn how to do math, and different things. That's very important. But they also need to understand that all of that, in order for it to function properly, has a biblical basis. And if they don't learn that, then they're just learning a bunch of numbers when it comes to math. Or they're just learning a bunch of theories when it comes to science. But if they understand that everything has a biblical basis, they will never fall for the lie of evolution. But if they don't understand that, they'll accept the lies of evolution and many other things. King Solomon, as a young man, became the king of the nation of Israel. And when he went to the high place in Gibeon, this is before the temple was built, the Bible says he went to the high place in Gibeon and he offered sacrifices. And God met with him there, and he asked him what he wanted. God knew that at that time in Solomon's life as a young man, Solomon was seeking to know God and know how to serve God. And Solomon told God, when God met with him, he said, I need wisdom to know how to govern this such a great nation. And God granted Solomon that wisdom. You see, Solomon didn't have that wisdom from his youth. He grew up under David, but he grew up under David in a time when David had committed sin with Bathsheba. And David already had several wives before. I think he had 9 wives altogether. I can't remember now, but he had several wives. He never left Bathsheba. He committed adultery with her and he kept her as his wife. And so Solomon did not have a very good training in that regard. And so he did not have the wisdom that he needed. And the sad thing is that it wasn't long after he became the king that he didn't rely on that wisdom. You see, when we get this wisdom that God is talking about here in Proverbs 19, We need to see the value of it. There's no point in getting something if we're just going to throw it in the corner and leave it there. And Solomon, not long after he became the king, he married a foreign woman. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was supposed to marry one from his own country. And not only did he marry one foreign woman, but he married 1,000 women, many of them being foreign. And his wives and concubines, the Bible says, turned his heart away from God. So he did not value his soul very much. He chose to marry many women, ungodly women, and he allowed those women to turn his heart away from God. So he that getteth wisdom is someone who doesn't just put it in his head. We can pack a certain amount of stuff in our heads, but we need to allow God to bring it from our heads into our hearts. We need to have it as the foundation upon which we're building our lives. And when that becomes the case, then is when we benefit from it. That is what helps our soul. And that's what it says here. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He loveth his own soul. And the word getteth there, I've already talked about that, but it means to procure and it means to own. So I want to own this wisdom. He that getteth wisdom. Like I said, I don't want to just have it and throw it in the corner, but I want to have it and I want to benefit from it. The soul of man never dies. The soul of man can be cut off from God, but it never dies. The soul of man, lost man, suffers for all of eternity in the lake of fire. If I love my soul, I want my soul to live on in eternity. I need to get wisdom in order for that to happen. I need to understand that I'm born as a lost sinner. I need to understand where can I go to be saved. I need to understand that I cannot save myself. I need to understand that God has provided the only means for me to be forgiven and saved. I need to understand that once I get saved, the Bible requires that I get baptized, scripturally baptized. Not just by anyone, by someone that's ordained of God, immersed. And I need to join a good church. That's important. There are people today who profess to be saved, who refuse to get baptized, and they don't join a church. You see, they have not acquired God's wisdom. They're running on their own wisdom. And that's foolishness. They need to come to the place of acquiring God's wisdom. God's wisdom is not hard to acquire. It's not hard to get God's wisdom. But it's not there for the proud. It's there for the humble. Then we see also here that it says in the second part of that verse, he that keepeth understanding. So that phrase, keepeth understanding, fits together with getting wisdom. So we see that attitude of wanting to keep what I'm getting. And so he that keepeth understanding shall find good. And that phrase there, keepeth understanding, means to hedge and protect. To hedge and protect. So I'm going to put a fence up because I want to keep my cattle inside the pen. I don't want to be chasing my cattle down the road. I don't want someone else getting my cattle. I want to keep them at home. So I'm going to put a fence up. I'm hedging my cattle in. And with the wisdom and with understanding, we need to hedge it in. We need to guard it from corruption. There are a lot of people today, they go to the internet for their wisdom. And they have no discernment as to where they go on the internet. They hear someone that is able to speak what things that they want to hear. Maybe they have a lot of illustrations. Today on the internet, a lot of them, they can put it up on the screen for you. They have a picture or they have the saying up there or whatever. And people, they are impressed with that. And so they listen to that. But they don't pay attention to what the man is actually saying. And many times, they're false teachers. There are a lot of false teachers out there. A lot of them. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. It's going to keep that person from the many dangers that are out there. You know, the devil wants to lead us astray. The first thing we find out about the devil in Genesis chapter 3 is that he's a liar. He distorted the truth. He put an idea into Eve's head, and Eve ran with that false idea and further developed it. Adam, he listened to his wife, and he heard what she said, and he decided to follow her anyway. He knew better. That's why the Bible credits him with the sin. He wasn't deceived. He knew what she was saying to him, but decided to follow anyway. And that's the way it is with us as men. We cannot blame our wives. Well, my wife told me that. Well, yeah, maybe she did, but you were given a brain. And you need to think. And you need to be studying the Word of God. You need to be knowing what the truth is. And your wife may give you some good counsel. She may not give you good counsel. You need to be the one to discern. Is this something we can do or something we need to say no to? So it's up to us. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. We prove who we are by what we pursue. And today, there aren't very many people that love their soul. They don't care that they're going to spend all of eternity in the lake of fire. I didn't put down the reference, but I think it's in Mark, where Jesus warns three times about where their soul, where the worm dieth not. Yeah, in Mark chapter 9, interestingly, two of these times are missing in the NIV. But in verse 43 of Mark 9, it says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands, to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." That verse, 44, is missing in the NIV. See, they don't want you to think about that, so they took it out. Who designed that for them to take that out? The devil. He doesn't want us to think about that. He knows it's true, but he doesn't want man to think about it. So in verse 45 it says, "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet, to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." That verse again, verse 46, missing in the NIV. Missing. Verse 47, "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The NIV left it in on that one. So you have one out of three left. See, that demonstrates that the people involved in the perversion of the NIV, they don't love their soul. Because they're throwing out wisdom. They're throwing out understanding. Jesus repeated it three times because we need to understand the seriousness of the matter. Our soul lives on. The worm there talks about the central being of man. And the worm does not die. It continues on. Where their worm dieth not, it says. And so there are many people today who have no regard for the future. They live for today. They talk about hell. They use it a lot in their language. But they have no understanding of the reality that that's where they're going. And that they're not getting out of there. My wife sent a text to a woman yesterday and sent her a Bible verse. And this woman is a lost woman. And the Bible verse talks about the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso trusteth in the Lord is safe. And that woman responded and said, oh yes, I believe that. And I can't remember, she said, praise the Lord or amen? Amen. You know, she doesn't believe that. If she believed that, she'd be here today. I should have told my wife that yesterday when she was texting. I should have said, okay, good. If you believe that, we'll see you in church tomorrow. In our church, not just a church, in our church. If you believe that, you'd be here. But she doesn't believe that. But you see, there are a lot of people that you can give them a good Bible verse, and it just runs off their back like water. Why? Because they don't love their soul. They don't love their soul. There's not a single person that's in hell today or that will be in hell that's going to say, am I ever glad I'm here? Not a single person. When they get there, the Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And in Luke chapter 16, Jesus gave us a picture of the desire of the person in hell who will wish that someone would tell and warn their family members not to come to that place. You see, it's important to love your soul, to take heed to what God says, because God doesn't make idle talk. What he says is true. And so it's very important to consider the need to be saved now. The second point we have is that false witnesses will have their day. In verse 9, and if you look at verse 5, we looked at that last time. Verse 9 is very much the same. It's a little different. Verse 9 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. In verse 5, it says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Lying is something that every human being is guilty of at some point. Every lost sinner lies. They're liars. They lie. In Revelation chapter 21, this is very important to understand what God says about liars. We need to be truth tellers. Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Liars. We need to understand, if we're saved, lying cannot be part of our lives. Lying, there's no such a thing as a white lie. Lying is not just a matter of stretching the truth. It's lying. It's trespassing God's law, transgression of God's law. It's something that Christians should avoid at all costs. And when we lie, we need to confess it as sin and forsake it. It's an evil that needs to be gone. In verse 9, a false witness shall not be unpunished. In Acts chapter 5, we have the account there of Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts chapter 4, we read there that the early Christians, they were selling their possessions, selling their goods, and they were giving the money and laying it at the apostles' feet. They were trusting the apostles being a representation of the church. And so they were trusting the apostles with the funds that they did not need, and they were living in a very simple manner, and they understood the value of the apostles going out and preaching. See, biblically speaking, a man who is preaching the gospel should live off the gospel. He should not be profiting off the gospel, but he should be living off the gospel. He shouldn't need to go out and work. Paul had to do that in Corinth. He had to be a tent maker. That was not the norm. And Paul taught on that, how important it is to understand that a man that is laboring in the word needs to have his needs looked after so he can labor in the word. That's very important. And so in Acts chapter 4, the early Christians, they understood the importance of the word of God being proclaimed. So they sold their possessions. They were living at that time in the expectation that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back in their time. So they figured, what do we need all this stuff for? So they sold it. They put the money at the apostles' feet. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they were outsiders, but they wanted to be insiders. So in chapter 5, they sold their property. But they kept some of the money back. And there was no crime. God didn't command the early Christians to sell everything and pool their money. He didn't command them to do that. They just wanted to do that. So it wasn't a crime, it wasn't sin for Ananias and Sapphira to sell their property and give only part of the money to the church. They could have done that very easily. But they went to Peter and said, here's what we sold our property for, it's all here. They lied. And what happened to Ananias when he lied to Peter? Peter said, you haven't just lied to me, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And he died right there. Ananias died right there. They carried him out, dead. He didn't faint, he died. They buried him. His wife came. You see, they had plotted this. His wife came. And Peter asked her, is this what you sold your property? Oh yeah, that's the price. Yeah, that's what we did. And so then he asked her, Peter, he gave her an opportunity. God gave them both an opportunity. Why have you both schemed to lie about this? And he says, the men that took your husband out, the feet of them that took your, they're here, they're going to take you out. And she died right there. She didn't faint either. She died. They took her out and buried her. Now, there have been many liars since that time. They haven't all dropped dead the minute they lied. But you see, God showed the standard there. And so he tells us in our text, a false witness shall not be unpunished. So if you think that you can get away with lying, understand that you might get away with it here. But you'll never get away with it with God. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 21. Perish, go to the lake of fire. Very serious. Very important for us to pay attention to what God says. Be honest. Tell the truth. If you did something wrong, admit it. Don't lie about it. Admit it. God is merciful, and God's people will be merciful too. But to lie about it, that's not good. That's why children need to be taught that they can't get away with lying. Don't make excuses for them if they lie. Don't make excuses for them. Don't train them that lying is acceptable. Any lie. In Colossians 3 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul tells us, lie not one to another. Here's why. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You see, it's contrary to the new nature to lie. Lost people, yeah, they're going to lie all the time. But not Christians. The third thing that we see here is fools don't know what delight is. Fools don't know what delight is. Verse 10, delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. Cain, he did not understand what delight was. He thought it was good to make up his own religion. He had no pleasure in his life. God put a mark on him. God judged him. And he went through his life a miserable man because he rejected God. He had no understanding of what delight is. Delight is not seemly for a fool. He can't find it. Lamech boasted. He was a polygamist. He had more than one wife, and he boasted about his murder. He didn't know what delight was. Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord, the Bible says. He was a rebel who used his energy to encourage others to join him in rebellion against God, to build a tower whose top would reach to heaven. He didn't understand what delight was either. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 26, God says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. That's what's ahead for the ungodly. Fear. Trouble. Why? Because in verse 25, ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. It's not possible for a fool to know what real delight is. They go to the liquor store, they go to the casino, they go to the dance hall, they go to all kinds of places looking for something that's going to bring them delight. I won $1,000 bucks. I won $500,000 bucks. I won $1,000,000 bucks. But they're still not happy. They still don't have that delight that God can give us, whether we have 2 cents to our name or $1,000,000 to our name. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. The teaching there in that last phrase is that, generally speaking, a servant, if he gets the position, he gets to be promoted to become the boss. That's what it's talking about there. Much less for a servant to have rule over princes. When the servant becomes the king, and the princes are under him, you see, generally that servant is bitter and vengeful. We have a good example of that right now in the United States. We have what's called Black Lives Matter, and we have Antifa. Rioting in Portland, rioting in Minnesota, rioting in different places. Why? You know, the governments in some of those places are laying down. They're bending over backwards, saying, what can we do for them? How can we stop this? The mayor of Portland, I think it's Portland, he finally had enough. He's a Democrat mayor, and he just was allowing the rioting, and finally he's had enough of it now. He's fed up with it. You don't win by giving those kinds of people more. They're not satisfied. They could have it all, and they wouldn't be satisfied. Hitler was a man that we're told started out as a poor man. He came to the place of being in charge of Germany. When he came to the place of being in charge of Germany, it was terrible for the citizens of Germany. The Jews were not safe. Christians were not safe. Anybody that didn't do what he told them to do was not safe. Because, you see, when a servant becomes the king, unless that servant is saved, he's going to be bitter. He's going to say, you treated me bad when I was down there. Now I'm going to take it out on you. But they're not looking for equality. They're not looking for justice. They're looking for overbearing. And that's what Hitler was like. He wasn't satisfied with being the Führer in Germany. He wanted more. He wanted to take over more countries. He wanted to rule it all. And that's the danger when a servant becomes the ruler. Now, there's nothing wrong. If a person is saved, there's nothing wrong. If a person is saved and is able to promote themselves up into a higher position. But if they're not saved, and if they're always going to work every day and saying, yeah, I have to do this, but you wait, someday I'm going to own this company, and then watch out. You better start running. Get away from that person. Because that person is a danger to himself and a danger to everyone around him. And that's what God is warning about here. Pay attention to your attitude. Delight is not seemly for a fool. The fool is someone who may have a job, maybe he's the janitor and he gets promoted to being in the office, but he's not happy. He can't find that which will satisfy because his goal is on the wrong thing. His goal is on things. Things will never make you happy. If you don't have the peace of God in your heart, things are not going to make you happy. And if you have the peace of God in your heart, you don't need things to make you happy. You can be content with what the Lord gives you. That doesn't mean that you're lazy. It doesn't mean that you're careless. But it also means that there's a contentment there. You're not getting up every day and saying, oh, I wish I could have this. I wish I could do that. So today I'm going to try and see if I can't get another step closer to that. And then when it doesn't happen, then you're fussing because you're never seeming to get that thing that you think is so important to you. When it doesn't really matter. What matters is to know the Lord. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. That's what's important. Wisdom. Get wisdom. I believe it's in chapter 2 that it talks about that. Well, chapter 2 does talk about, it's not the verse that I was thinking about. It talks about getting wisdom, and different than the verse that we have here. But in chapter 2, it talks about the priority that wisdom should have in our hearts and lives. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Get wisdom. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this afternoon that we can get wisdom. Thou hast given us thy word. Thou hast given us that ability to turn to thee in repentance, be saved, that we can begin to listen to thee. We can begin to know how to build our lives in a sure way. We're thankful that thou hast given us thy word. Thou hast watched over thy word so that today we still have an accurate text. No mistakes. We can know the truth and we can be blessed by the truth. And I pray that each one that's listening today would be one that knows thee as their God and Savior. And that we'd be humbly seeking to get wisdom, taking the time to be in a good church when the doors are open, to follow through with our own study, spending time in prayer, seeking thy direction in our lives, wanting to help others to know the truth as well. We pray, Father, that thy will would be accomplished in each one of our lives, that we would allow thee to direct us, that we'd know thy blessing. Pray for anyone that's not saved, that they might see the need to humble themselves, to turn to thee in repentance and ask that you forgive them and save them through the blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they could know thy peace today and into eternity. We thank thee for this time. May thy will be accomplished in each one of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.